It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure to have you waking up with us, as always, here on a Saturday morning for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. Weather turning here, feeling a lot like fall this morning, and we're going to get continued rain showers, it looks like, through Monday. That'll affect whatever your plans are outdoors. Don't be surprised either if that's not wet stuff, but white stuff in the mountains, and there's a little bit of that out there this morning. Nice to have you here with us, and man, have we got a full house. First of all, Russell from Sky Call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to be here.
How are you?
Doing well.
Kind
doing
of a week
well.
Have you had, anyway?
Well, you know, I was out last Sunday out in the West Desert. Had a great drive out there to the Dugway Mountains. And, they don't really say Dugway Mountains on any maps, but that's what they're called.
What were you doing out there?
I was scouting out. I have a company that needs equipment out there. I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but they need to be able to make sure the equipment works so they can send reports back to wherever they send reports.
Via satellite, obviously.
Yeah. Well, maybe cell phone. We've got the cell phone amplifier out there, and they've got some signal. Anyway, nice drive.
Part of a secret government program?
That's right.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's right. Deep state.
Your tax dollars hard at work, ladies and gentlemen.
But I found a new range of mountains I've never explored, so I'm going back out.
All right.
Yeah.
First time I've ever heard anybody say I had a really nice drive out to the Dugway Mountains. That's you didn't see one of the Navadomskas clan out there, did you? I hear Mickey's hanging out in the desert,
no, but
too.
We need to research that and see if it's the same project.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what project he's working on, but he's got a lot of boys down there from Louisiana.
Louisiana. And this would be Navi, who's in studio with us, Mike Navadomskas.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, sir. Your week, I guess, is always the same these days.
It's hectic. Yeah, I got
classroom.
Fly fishing at night.
Oh, that's right. You started classes this week.
Whoa. Yeah, it's rough. I forget how hard it is. I have 3 years in the classroom, but only 2 years of fly fishing because my wife finally realized that it's harder than she thought. She's now helping me. And she used to criticize me. She goes, get off the couch. I go, I'm tired. And she go, you've been fishing. Be quiet. But now she knows.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, you're winding down this part of your life, the fly fishing classes.
Yeah, this is, I have one more fall class after this, and I'm done. And by the way, a number of my students showed up because of last week, me talking about this is my second to last time ever teaching fly fishing, and they were worried they were going to miss. There's a lot of people out there who want to take the class, but they don't get it on their schedule. You know how that is.
Yeah, and we never talk about it this early on the show, so just in case we have listeners that are here in the first hour and maybe miss part of the second hour, it's a great class that for $140 you get not only classroom instruction but a little time to throw the line on dry ground.
Oh yeah.
And then you get out on the river for 3 days. So
it's a rich man's sport for poor people here. This is a working man price. $140. We're just working stiffs and we have a lot of fun and you're welcome to join us.
What he doesn't tell you is how much all that gear is going to cost you to go out and do it once he gets you hooked on it.
Well, unlike other gear, this is guaranteed for life. My skis need to be replaced every 4 years. My fishing rod, I buy it once for the rest of my life, and then I will it to my kids. So I'm being serious. It's a plan.
Well, speaking of that, I have the tip of my fly rod missing, and I need to have you walk me through how to get that back to the company.
Gail's good at it. You just get a phone number and you call them. Yeah. That's it. No questions asked.
Speaking of that class, Charlie YWO,
I think. WYO, Charlie.
WYO, sorry. That would stand for Wyoming. You two met through the class.
Actually, we met here in this studio. 100 years ago when he was doing his Bear River, and then he joined my class.
Yep, great class. In fact, I'd like to take it again.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie's in with us, Charlie Dennings.
Good morning. Good to see you, Tim.
Nice to have you in studio with us.
Honored to be here.
You are one of the Red Hats, right? Now you volunteer to help that class.
I do, yep. It's
he gives back.
Really awesome.
Which is perfect because he can wear my Keep America Great hat while he's out there
Dread. You know what, though? You're going to be hard-pressed to knock that WIO hat off his head.
Yeah. I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah.
Charlie's in this morning because you're one of the crazies that likes to get out in the wintertime and do wintertime camping,
love
which
it.
I think most people would just put the tent and the sleeping bag away.
But you got to remember, he went to school in Laramie.
7,200
feet.
He can
suffer anything.
Well, and I think, Russ, you can remind me, one of the first times I ever had conversation with Charlie.
That was our first call from Charlie.
He was out at the sink somewhere in the coldest spot in the state of Utah, and sometimes, most mornings, might be one of the coldest spots in the nation.
Yeah, it was awesome.
See, he likes to be slapped.
What was it
way.
That time of the morning? I don't remember.
Like 10 below zero.
Oh.
It was awesome.
Is that what led you to get into the business of selling things that keep you warm that time of year?
Yeah, I could get it at wholesale for me, but also help people prepare, you know, for that type of stuff. It's really quiet and there's
stuff,
no bugs.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. No spiders, no ticks. It's good.
Yeah. And again, these are products that you can buy that'll last a lifetime, like that fly rod you were just talking about. We're going to do a segment on that coming up in just a little while, so that's part of what is on tap for. By the way, did I see your daughter is off in the world again somewhere? Like in Tokyo or something?
She was in Japan. She climbed Mount Fuji. She had a wonderful time. I think this was her favorite trip. Yep.
Do you ever get a complex that your daughter is traveling the world and you're stuck in the office somewhere?
Or? Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
you got to live vicariously through her. Come on, Charlie.
She's a machine.
She is.
I'll tell you,
special woman.
Mount Fuji is like 12,000 something feet, and she said I did better than what I thought. Mm. She's usually one of the leaders.
Always.
In the pack, so.
We love having her in from time to time just to share those experiences with us. And all these guys, you know, one of the things that I really love about all of you, not just our friendship here in the studio, but is the family aspect. And you all have great kids, and that's a testament to mom and dad, certainly. Speaking of kids, you brought along one of your son's buddies who's checked in with us before.
I thought you were going to segue from Fujiyama.
Could do that, too.
Yeah. This is Yusuke Yamanaka. And if you're one of those Instagram people, he's known as Samurai Eddie.
Samurai Eddie's checked in with us on his epic bicycle tour. You started in Alaska, is that right?
Yeah.
How long ago now?
I flew to Alaska Anchorage on May 16th, so it's been like 4 months already.
But you've been in Utah a while now. You've made a long stop here.
Yeah, well... I have a lot of friends here.
And a place to sleep every night, and they feed me, those kinds of things.
It's way better than to sleep outside.
Yeah, no kidding. And especially as we start to make the turn here. We're also going to do a segment this morning to learn about where you're headed next and how things have been going for you. But any listeners that may have missed our first couple of conversations, you don't really have a timeline on this. I mean,
Not really.
You said it could be a couple of years for you to be out on your bike.
Right. I don't have any schedule, so.
Yeah. And all of us are envious of that, I think.
You know, he's being heavily lobbied by my sons to spend the winter. I'm being serious. That's why he's still here. He's
staying ski.
He was going to ride away last week, and they're working on him, and they think he should just stay here and ski the whole winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Snowbird here, why not?
Yeah. Why not?
I like that.
Greatest snow on earth.
Speaking of skiing, one of our guests this morning is going to be Jessica Miller from Park City, because we're about to hit another one of those deadlines for you to save some money on your passes, whether that's an Epic or whether that's an Icon. I got a note from Sarah Huey, also at Snow Basin, Solitude. Letting me know that the Icon Pass is going to jump by another $50 or something mid-October. So we just want to make you aware of another deadline that's coming up on that. But it is shaping up, and you can see it on the mountains this morning. It's shaping up to be another great ski season, fingers crossed, here in Utah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. The other conversation we're looking forward to having in our regular segment with the Division of Wildlife, Doug Messerly, who is one of the law enforcement officers for the Division of Wildlife, will join us. As we head into the hunt season, going to be talking about how we can help hunters and anglers, for that matter, not break the law out there. There are things that you need to know as you head out into the field. So that conversation In our news of the week, we'll touch on this coming up here in just a minute. We will follow up on that terrible bus crash down there with the Chinese tourist around Bryce. Tragic story. And, you know, the one strange twist to that is that it was the very first outing for the driver who was a new employee of that particular tour company. What people don't know is that Bob Grove, who does tours in that part of the state on a regular basis, his tour had just left like an hour before that. And we're going to check in with Bob this morning. Not that he can give us any new information on the accident itself, but we're going to talk about good reasons to go down to see Bryce this time of year, and especially as we head into the winter months, and how you can be a part of winter fun with Bob Grove and his tours that are available in the southern part of the state. And we'll get a little fish bites in here, too.
Absolutely.
As the weather has turned. I've got a question for all you guys. I'll give you a minute to think about it while we go to break. And the Division of Wildlife Resources actually posed this question on their Facebook page, and I thought, man, there are so many things to like. And they've received, I don't remember what it was, quite a few posts in answer to the question, my favorite thing about fall in Utah is blank.
Oh, I've got a lot.
There's a lot of them out there. And I've got some pictures to go along with the ideas. So we'll do that when we come back. News of the Week is coming up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Pleasure to have you here with us for the next couple of minutes before we get you another news update on the half hour. Let's talk about some of the news of the week. And Nami, did you say the boys just went down to try and see the wave?
They went
Utah?
Down to get on. They got up at 3 a.m. They took Yusuke here with them, and they drove down to try to get a permit for the wave, and they were unable to secure one.
I'm going to guess most people have seen a picture of what the wave is.
It's the thing now. Yeah. It's been there for 1,000 years, but people think it's the thing now.
It looks like an area that was almost groomed by a groomer at a ski resort, but it's in the Red Rocks of Utah and has become this, as they described it in the story, an otherworldly collection of Jurassic-era Navajo sandstone, which is a real mouthful. These passes, though, are tough to get, and a big part of it, was, we thought, to protect the area from abuse and a lot of traffic that might damage what everybody comes to see. And I think only 20 permits were available that were distributed by lottery, which makes it really tough to get. But boy, did they get some attention this week when they talked about, and this is the BLM announcing a proposal to potentially increase that daily visitor limit to as high as 96 per day. So more than triple, quadruple. The number of people that would have access to it. And for folks that have wanted to go see it, I guess that's a good thing. But, boy, it does raise concerns about conservation in that area.
Well, let me say this in defense of that policy. I've never been to the wave, so consider that. But I can tell you that people think 96 is a lot of people, but the Earth absorbs people. Like when I take people fly fishing in the class, they go, well, where's your class? I go, they're here. They go, well, where are they? Well, they're up and down the stream. You can't see them because landmass absorbs people. I mean, you're just around the bend from somebody. You're pretty much alone in nature.
Well, again, I don't know how many people can get in on one permit. We may not just be talking about 96 people. It might be 96 groups of a particular size.
I'm not sure that's the case.
And I've never applied for it. But to give you an idea of the demand here and the number of inquiries they get, more than 150,000 people applied for 7,300 available permits a couple of years ago. So you can see how tough it is for some folks to get there.
Hey, we made that advertising, come to Utah, and they came.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of that, I'm so glad you're giving me the perfect segues to all of this.
I read your book
today. the number of people that come to Utah. And from time to time, we get these stories. But there's another story out this week you'll find on the KSL News Radio Facebook page and on our website at KSL.com that outdoor recreation created $5.5 billion in Utah. How big is it to the Utah economy? All the things we love to do and play in the outdoors. They said overall, the Bureau found outdoor recreation contributed to about $778 billion in gross economic output in 2017, which was about 2.2% of the entire U.S. gross domestic product. So that's nationwide. Also led to 5.2 million jobs. But when you take a look at the map, which they posted there on the percentage of state GDP, the overall gross domestic product of a state.
Right.
There's only a couple of places that have a bigger percentage of their state GDP than Utah does at 3.3%. Colorado matches that. Wyoming, surprisingly, Charlie, a little bit higher at 4.4. Montana is 5.1.
Well, but there has to be people in Wyoming before they can count. Right, Charlie?
More antelope than there are people.
You need to know, Tim. I don't want to ruin your numbers, but tourism accounts for almost between 10 and 20% of all revenue worldwide.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, it's only going to get more.
It's and so that's why you see so much advertising these days about ecotourism and the number of people that go not looking to, you know, see a particular landmark, but to get away,
you know,
from those landmarks.
We've been on this for years, Tim. It isn't a thing. You don't want a thing for Christmas. You want a moment. You want a place. You want a time. You want to visit. That's what you want for Christmas, not something. Sorry, Chart, I know you sell things. But he also talks about places to go. And an adventure is exciting. It's a great gift. You don't know what to get your family. Plan a big trip, and then get pictures of the potential trip, and boom.
Here's the breakdown. $20.9 billion boating and fishing led the way. What was the next one in line here? Traveling by RV, $16.9 billion. Traveling by motorcycle or ATV, Russell, $9.1 billion. Hunting, shooting, trapping, $8.8 billion. I was kind of surprised that that's half of what traveling by RV has generated. Equestrian activities, $7.8 billion. Snow activities, $5.6 billion. But again, I would guess that the skiing probably tops the list in Utah as far as economic impact. Interesting stuff. If you want to read the full article, it's available on our Facebook page, or just type in KSL Outdoors Radio. Make sure you put KSL Outdoors Radio on there. If you put KSL Outdoors Show or click on that, that'll be Adam's show on Channel 5. There's some news of the week for you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors here in just a minute.